If you guys don't know, this is Amanda Hamlin and Megan Harder. I always want to call her Tarantino still, even though she hasn't been one for a while. They're going to talk to us today about the importance of sin and how sometimes Satan tries to get a foothold of us when things seem to be going well and we're on the right path, like Coral was talking about earlier. I've known these girls for about 9 years. I remember that I was actually in cell group with both of them before we were all married with our husbands, so it's weird to look back and see how things have changed since then, but it's been awesome to see. You know, both these women have touched my life in a very special way, and I wouldn't be the person I am today if they didn't have the impact that they do. So, you know, I hope you guys get a lot from what they have to say today. So if you want to pray with me. Dear God, I just want to come before you now, and I just want to lift up Amanda and Megan to you. They're wonderful women, and they've taught me a lot over the years. And I just pray that you'll use them to reach somebody today and help them to see that even though you've offered us forgiveness for sins, that sin is still something that needs to be taken seriously. Help us to remember to live a life of righteousness as opposed to rebellion. God, I just pray that you'll touch somebody with this today and give them the words to say to make a difference for someone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Is it started? Alright, so we're going to be talking about Satan having a foothold in our life and really what footholds are. So this has really been interesting in trying to put together, and I think I've rewritten mine at least 3 or 4 times after talking to Justin, just kind of looking over what footholds really are. So really, whenever you think of footholds, what do you, like, think about what you guys think about? Because I know that I always thought a foothold was something negative, something not good, and something that I don't want to have in my life. But if you look at Ephesians 4:27, that's what we're going on. It says, don't give the devil a foothold. The New American Standard Version says, don't give the devil an opportunity. So really, footholds aren't necessarily good or bad. They're just opportunities. And we all have opportunities in our lives, but we don't want to give it to the devil. So we're going to be using rock climbing as kind of an analogy throughout our lesson. I don't know if you guys know, but Megan's husband and my husband are really big into rock climbing right now. And they like to go to the rock wall and even go outside and climb on the rocks. I guess. I was like, you don't really climb mountains, but I don't really, you know, you don't really climb rocks. So anyways, they climb footholds, yeah. But basically a rock climber is you see this thing that you want to get to the top of, and you use different holds and different edges and different cracks to make your way up it. And something that is interesting is really you can grab on to anything or really use almost anything, like a crack or a wedge of some sort. This is just a foothold that Richard had on one of his rock walls, which I have no idea how he even, like, puts his fingers on this. But he can hold on to this and pull himself up to make it to the next one. But this is just an example of something like how little a hold can be to grab onto. I do have a couple pictures. If you guys want to pass them around, you can. But I typed in the smallest footholds that there are. And these are some of them that they came up with. And I don't know if you can see, but you can barely see what they're putting their foot on. And, I mean, they do have special shoes there. They have, like, little points on them that they can grab onto them a little bit to help them get some more leverage. But really, you don't need a lot to grab onto to get yourself to the next hold. So, just keep that in mind for as we talk. So let's think about different holds that could be in our life, different footholds that we have. Unforgiveness, there's anger, fear, insecurities. These are all things that Satan can use to grab onto us and pull us down and walk his way through our life, to climb his way through our life. But there is another option. We can allow Satan to use it, or we can allow God to use our holds. These opportunities we have in our life are basically decisions that we have to make through our life. Are we going to let the devil grab onto it And that hurts whenever he does that. Grab onto it and, you know, like I said, make his way through. Or are you going to pick God? A good example would be, think about when you get angry. What type of things do you do when you get angry? Do you yell? Do you cuss? Do you throw things? Say mean things? If you do, you're probably letting Satan grab onto that foothold. You're letting Satan use that opportunity to show his face. Or do you offer forgiveness immediately? Do you look for peace, humility? And if so, then you're letting God use that foothold. You're letting God show his face through you. So why does Satan want these footholds in our lives in the first place? Well, he wants us to make us less effective in his kingdom. He wants to lessen our faith. And ultimately, he wants us to spiritually die. That's kind of scary when you think about it. It says in Romans 8:6, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So Satan wants us to die. He doesn't want us to live for God and to have a life filled with peace. So how are we going to not let Satan grab onto these? Well, first we need to know how to recognize the footholds in our life. And we need to figure out how we're going to do that. So it talked about in Romans 8:6 about letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So think about where you have peace in your life. Think about where you don't have peace in your life. Because where you don't have peace in your life could be a good indicator of where you're letting the devil grab onto those opportunities and those footholds in your life. Some things to think about. Your relationships. How many, do you have peace in the relationships around you? With your husband, with your kids, with your friends? How do you handle those relationships? Maybe it's your job. Do you have peace with your coworkers there? Or even the job that you're at? Sometimes we can get really, really drugged down by where we're at in life. But God still calls us to have peace. He still has us where we are for a reason. And what about money? Money is a big thing that can easily you can worry about and be insecure about. So how do you handle that? Sometimes these are obvious things in your life. Other times you need to dig really hard. To see where the devil can have access in your life, or if he already does have access in your life. Something else to think about is how emotional are you? Like, think about whenever you have high emotions or if they're fluctuating a lot. Is it because you have anxiety, or if you worry, or is there someone in your life you have resentment towards, someone you haven't forgiven? I know that these are a lot of lists, and I'm not going to be able to even touch the surface of what you guys have or what you have versus what I have, because we're all different, and we all have different holds in our life. Just like the rock climbing, picture that you guys are a rock face. You're the rock wall, and we're all different. We have all different wedges, cracks, holes to grab onto. And Satan's the climber, and he's going to try to grab onto whatever he can to make his way. And he can grab onto the littlest things. I wanted to use an example of how one thing can lead to the next. So just because you have one foothold here, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's isolated. So you make a decision to not forgive somebody. And you think, I can't forgive this person for what they've done. And it's just going to be that. But the next thing you know, you're letting it fester in your mind, and it becomes bigger than what it started out to be. You start to gossip about it, about the person and the situation, and then before you know it, you're avoiding the places or events that person will be at. The next thing you know, Satan has you believing that this person will never be good enough for forgiveness. They can never prove to you that they are sorry, and now they don't deserve your forgiveness. If that's not a bunch of lies that Satan's telling you, I don't know what is. But that's so easy to go down that path. I've been down that path with a couple people, and I didn't even realize it. It was over a silly lie that one of my friends told me, and I just kept going down that. And I didn't even realize it until one day I realized that I was talking about them in a negative way, and, you know, I was just like, had this terrible attitude towards them. And it hit me. I was like, why do I think that way? Why do I feel that way about that person? You know, that's not normally like me. And I realized I had never forgiven them years ago for this little lie that they told me. And it just hit me. Let me see here. So, we, you know, with going along with forgiveness, we don't deserve forgiveness. We can't prove ourselves worthy. So what makes you think that somebody else should do that to you, that to prove them worthy of forgiveness? Because they're not going to be able to. And, you know, we can't even prove ourselves worthy of the Lord. And He doesn't say we have to. So we can't make somebody else do that. Going along, I'm touching a lot on forgiveness just because it really is a big one that I think a lot of us do struggle with, and sometimes it's not easily seen as you think it would. So when someone does something to you, do you offer forgiveness immediately, or do you think about it over and over until it becomes something that it's not? Colossians 3:12-13 says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." So how are you treating the people in your life? Are you kind and gentle to them whenever you talk to them? Do you have patience with your kids, with your friends, with your husband? Oh, that's a hard one. And do you have a heart of compassion? It is really hard to figure out the holes in your life and to see the opportunities God can use sometimes. Like I said, sometimes they're obvious, but I was praying, and I was trying to think about some of the opportunities and the holes that I have out there that Satan can grab onto. And I'm definitely, you know, I know that I'm not perfect, but sometimes you're just in that spot where you're like, everything's going great. Like, everything is really going good. What else, you know, what could go better? And then I started doing this lesson, and I'm thinking, really, what do I not have peace with in my life right now? And, you know, I just think about all the activities and just different stuff that's going on, but really, at the moment, I didn't have peace with doing this lesson, and I had a lot of anxiety towards it, and I thought about, well, how can I, like, not use this for God? I'm doing the lesson, so I'm letting God use me, you know, like, I'm letting God do His thing because I'm doing the lesson, but I still had all this anxiety, and I still didn't have peace, and it wasn't until we were at Golden Corral, and I'm, like, sitting in the bathroom trying to figure out, like, what is going on, and you know, I realize that I'm still letting Satan win by letting him feed me these lies of, I'm not going to be good enough, or I'm not going to say what God wants me to say, or I'm going to mess up, or, you know, I'm going to do all these things. And these are just like the little lies that Satan tells us throughout our lives that you don't notice until you really sit down and you really think about it, and you really try to figure out, why do I have anxiety? Why do I not have peace right now in my life? So that's kind of what Megan's going to talk about, is the importance, right? Yeah, the importance of, like, making sure I'm thinking about this, right? The importance of why we want to, know the footholds in our life and what Satan can do to us if we don't figure that out. So. Okay.
So as I was preparing for this lesson, I didn't realize there was so much on footholds and what Satan is capable of doing. So I know that this lesson is not in any way covering everything about this topic, because I had like 15 pages of notes and I was not going to stand up here and talk about it through 15 pages of notes. So if I give you any verses that I may not read, please go and study them, because it is a really serious thing. I don't know if any of you guys have seen the movie The Usual Suspects. I have not, but I was actually at work, and one of the attorneys sent an email, and it had this quote on it, and I was like, that's really weird, because the quote was,
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. And I thought, okay, I'm doing this lesson. How is this in an email at a law office that was totally not related to that? And it talks about what I was thinking the whole time, is that we need to realize the spiritual footholds in our life that Amanda was talking about, some of the different ones in our life, but we need to realize the danger of letting Satan into our lives and letting him have that tiny foothold. Because it could be a tiny thing, but when we're doing that, we're giving Satan the power to get into our lives, power he doesn't even have, that God took away from him. So we're giving him that power into our lives, and if we don't recognize and we don't look for it, if we don't know it exists, we're not going to be able to get it out of our life or to change it. You can't fight something if you don't know it exists, and you can't look for footholds and keep Satan from placing them over life if you don't know they exist or what signs to look for. If you read in Ephesians 6:11-12, it says, "Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, our battle, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Have you guys ever talked to anybody, or have you ever thought yourself, well, the devil, he's in hell, and he's not really going to do anything in my life. I'm a Christian. I'm good to go. I'm set. I think I've heard a lot of people that have that attitude in their life. They think, well, I'm going to church. I'm doing the godly thing, so I don't really need to worry about him. But I think it's just the opposite of that. I think that Satan, he can get into your life. I mean, here it says, you know, he has schemes. He has things that he's doing to get in your life. And if we're not on the lookout for it, if we're not being alert to see the areas that we're not at peace, like Amanda talked about, those are the areas where he's trying to get in. And there are two extremes when it comes to letting Satan in your life. Either you can give him not enough credit and you don't realize what he's capable of doing, or you can give him too much credit and say that everything is all because Satan did it, or, you know, he's the one that's doing it all. And when you do that, the thing that I kept finding when I was looking is that Satan really doesn't have any power other than the power that we give him. He's not an all-powerful, all-knowing being. God is. I looked up a lot of descriptions of Satan, actually, to try and find just different descriptions of him. Some of them are, he is described as an adversary, an accuser. He's the ruler of this world, the tempter. He is a roaring lion, lion seeking who he can devour. He is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he disguises himself as an angel of light. He only works within the limits that God lays down for him. Which, if you read in Job, at the beginning of Job, that's where Satan and God are kind of having a conversation, I guess, and Satan wants to get into God's life, or Job's life, and God says, okay, he allows him for that one time, but he says, these are the only bounds that you can do that, because Satan doesn't have that power in our life. We give him that power. And if you look at all the descriptions of Satan, none of them sound very pleasant to me to look at them. They're all things that, you know, he wants to destroy, steal, kill, an accuser, the ruler of this world. I mean, I know I could have made a list probably twice as long as the qualities of God. You know, but Satan is not an all-powerful, all-knowing being like God is. At the cross, Satan was judged and cast out, and God had the victory. So Satan can only take us captive and put those footholds in our life if we allow him to do that. So I think it's really important just to be aware of even the smallest areas that you think you're not at peace, or even the smallest things, like this small little foothold that you may think won't get you anywhere. I've seen Richard on the rock wall. It looks like there's absolutely nothing there, and that's the one piece that he needs to get up all the way to the top of the wall. And I don't understand it, but I feel like that's what Satan's looking for. If you also look in 1 Peter 5:8-9, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." I looked at that, and I never really thought of it like this, but have you ever wondered why the devil goes around roaring like a lion, looking for someone he can devour? It's because he can't devour just anyone. You have to give him that foothold in, and that little foothold gives him, he can get in your life with a little foothold, and next thing you know, your life is, you don't even know what happened. And he's come in and he's torn up your life. And I know Amanda kind of touched on this, but Satan uses those footholds to keep us from having peace and joy, to keep us from being able to do God's work, to keep us from growing in the Spirit. It can choke out the Holy Spirit in our life and the ability for us to hear God speak to us. He uses footholds to make our relationship with God become weak, and he also uses it to destroy our relationship with each other. And another thing I was thinking about with the rock climbing example is that I know sometimes when I've been rock climbing on the wall, Rich will be on the ground and he'll say, "No, you got to have a foothold right there. You have that right there. You have that right there." And I wouldn't have known, I wouldn't have been able to get anywhere without that foothold. So it kind of made me think, if you have other ladies in your life that can point those footholds or things they see that might be, you know, the start of a foothold, they may be able to help you keep Satan from getting in there also. But Satan wants to destroy those relationships. He doesn't want you to have those relationships. He doesn't want you to have a relationship with God. He wants you to believe all the lies that he tells you. And another example I thought of was, if you think of your house, if you think of your life like a house, giving the devil a foothold is, it's like leaving the door open just a crack for him to come in. And this point just really stuck out to me. It said, not many of you would be comfortable sleeping with all your windows and doors wide open. That's what many of you are doing spiritually. You rest, but you have left openings to the influence of the devil everywhere. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. Like, even if I leave the door a crack open just a little bit, that's that foothold that Satan can get in. And, I mean, do you guys go to bed with your windows cracked? And I mean, maybe windows sometimes, but with your door wide open or just everything open, do you feel very safe when it's like that? Most people don't. Have you ever thought of that with your life spiritually? Do you go around with your doors wide open and your windows wide open and you think you're safe? But really, you may not be. You may have, you know, opened those spaces for the devil to get in your life. It also says, if you put a welcome mat out for the devil, he is within his rights to settle in and stay. So you can't expect to open the door of the devil and expect him to leave the areas nice and neat in your life. You can't expect to open it a little bit and let him in and say, oh, well, he's not going to get in this area, or he's not going to get in this area. No, that's not what he wants. He wants to get in the house. He wants to take over the whole thing. So I think that's something really important to realize with footholds is they may start as something really small, but they can grow into something huge. So if you're not looking out for the small, tiny foothold, you're missing, you may be letting him in on a big opportunity in your life. And so that kind of talks about what Satan is capable of doing. But as I was looking at the lesson, I was thinking, you know, we have a choice. We either can let Satan in or we can let God in, like Amanda started out talking about. And that made me think of what our response should be. If we realize these footholds and we realize the danger of what Satan can do, what should our response be? Well, if we know that Satan has been defeated and God is our king, we should have the power to say, I'm not going to let that in. You're not my king. You're not my ruler. So we need to enforce Satan's defeat is what the point that I had. Jesus not only took away our sins, but he redeemed us from Satan's power and dominion. In Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. And this is talking about I know Alan has given an example of this before. It's like a battle, like a parade. When they capture somebody, they take all their stuff and they like parade it like, hey, look, this is what I got. This is who I captured. And I picture that's what Jesus did with Satan. He was, you know, walking around with a parade saying, I defeated, this is who I defeated. And I think that a lot of times we give Satan way too much credit. We give him way too much control, because since God defeated Satan, he has no power in our lives. The scary thing about footholds is that we have that choice. We're giving him that foothold into our life. So I think just to remember that, you know, that Satan, he has no power in our life unless we give it to him. And the other thing is, not only do we need to enforce Satan's defeat, we need to continually resist the devil and ultimately submit to God. I don't think that it's going to be something that you get one foothold out of your life and another one doesn't ever come back up. I think there's definitely going to be other footholds, and we continually have to resist those footholds. In James 4, 7 and 8, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So the ultimate spiritual weapon we have against Satan's schemes is submission to Jesus. He has given us everything that we need to overcome Satan. He's given us everything we need to resist him. But it doesn't say resist the devil and everything will be great. It says, you know, it says submit to God first, and it also says resist the devil, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So we resist those footholds and we resist Satan getting in, but that's not the end of it. We need to choose to fill that with something else. If we're not letting Satan into our house, what do we want in our house? We want to fill it with God and the Holy Spirit. And Amanda is going to talk a little bit more about what it looks like to fill it with the Holy Spirit and run towards God.
Okay, so like Megan was saying, not only do we need to resist the devil, but we also need to run towards God. And just something I was thinking of, like, you know, how are you going to get someplace faster if you're constantly looking back and trying to run? Or if you stand up straight and you look forward, and if you're running to something, like, which way is better? Obviously, you're going to kind of have to do both with this. But, you know, I think the biggest thing is not just to resist the devil. It is to look forward and to run towards God, because he's the one that's going to save you. He already has saved you. But you just need to keep looking towards him. So what does running towards God look like? I'm really not going to give you a whole list of things to do, mostly because having a relationship with God and living a life pleasing of him isn't a big checklist. It is having a relationship with him, knowing what his word says, and obeying him. So we're going to look at Matthew 4, which is the temptation of Jesus whenever Satan tempted him in the desert for 40 days, after he was there for 40 days. And I just want you to notice how Jesus responds to Satan. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights. After this, he was very hungry. The devil came to Jesus to tempt him, saying, if you're the Son of God, tell these rocks to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written in the scriptures, a person lives not on bread alone, but by everything God says. Then the devil led Jesus to the holy city of Jerusalem and put him on a high place of the temple. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, jump down, because it is written in the scriptures, he has put his angels in charge of you. They will catch you in their hands so that you will not hit your foot on a rock. Jesus answered him, it also says in scripture, do not test the Lord your God. Then the devil led Jesus to the top of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. The devil said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things. Jesus said to the devil, go away from me, Satan. It is written in scriptures, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. So the devil left Jesus, and the angels came back and took care of him. So how did Jesus respond to Satan? He responded with scripture. He knew what God said. He knew what God wanted from him. And he trusted God. You know, he has Satan telling him all of these lies. I can give you all of this if you just bow down to me. I mean, I would think that would be pretty tempting. Even the first one made me laugh because, you know, it said that Jesus was very hungry. What happens to you guys when you get very hungry? I personally handle it okay, but a lot of my friends do not. I have my other struggles, but I don't like to be around a lot of people when they're hungry because they can get kind of rude, be a little mean. But anyway, that's beside the point. Anyway, so, you know, Jesus, he knew what God wanted for him, and he decided to follow him, and he decided to not let Satan use those tricks on him. Satan makes it look easy, but Jesus stood firm. So just to ensure that Satan doesn't gain a foothold in your life, you do need to make a couple decisions. One, am I going to take a serious look at the footholds in my life? The biggest way Satan can get in there is if you don't even know that there's a foothold there, or if you don't even know your door is open. You know, you go to bed and you don't think about it, and you don't double check, make sure they're even locked. You know, Satan's going to walk on in regardless if you meant to shut it or not. So you need to make sure that you're taking a serious look at it and not just going on to your day-to-day and trying to push it in the back of your head and not worry about it, you know, out of sight, out of mind. That's not how it works, because Satan doesn't care. He's going to use anything that he can and try to make his way in. And the other decision is, am I going to choose Satan and his lies, or are you going to choose God and tell Satan to step off? I wish I would have watched the School of Rock. I didn't know about it. I would have totally done whatever it is. Step off. That's what you need to tell Satan.